Welcome to the Generations Church podcast. This is Brian Nugent, and I'm the pastor at Generations Church. Thanks for listening today. We hope this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Galatians chapter 5, please turn there this morning. Galatians chapter 5, continuing a series on called Good Fruit. Good Fruit. In this series, we are looking at the continued spiritual conflict with our flesh and the powerful working of the Holy Spirit that makes us like Jesus. We're in the fourth part of this series. So, and this kind of, feeds right into it, but today is Pentecost Sunday. So some of you may know what that is. Some of you, this may be kind of new, but Pentecost Sunday commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the other followers of Jesus while they were celebrating the Feast of Weeks. So what happened 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus? There were thousands of people that were, that were in Jerusalem for this festival called Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. They called it later Pentecost because of the 50, it was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. So they were in Jerusalem for this festival spelled out in the book of Leviticus. It was the celebration of the spring harvest. So they were thankful the harvest was over. It was kind of a relief. You brought offerings to the Lord. All the hard work had been done. And now it was some time. Now it was time to have some fun. So during this festival, when thousands of people are in Jerusalem for this Old Testament festival, something unusual happened during this festival of Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. I want to read it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Jesus had told them, there's going to be a time that I'm going to go away, but you're going to be better off because when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come. I'm sure that caused great confusion. They didn't understand that, but this is the moment that the Holy Spirit came, to empower the church. And for 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit has been empowering the church and empowering believers. Now, this movement started very strong, and I want to encourage you, if you're new to what I'm talking about, read the book of Acts and it will give you great explanations. So this movement started very strong, through the book of Acts and the centuries after that, very strong movement of the Holy Spirit. But slowly, centuries later, it began to fade a little bit. Strange kind of doctrines and thoughts had woven themselves in. If you like to study Montanism, that was kind of one of the more formal ways that it was kind of straying from its biblical orthodoxy. And it just for a long period of time, it was just kind of, weak. But there was always kind of a presence there. Then in 1906, in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, the modern day outpouring of the Holy Spirit began again. William J. Seymour was teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This group of very poor people were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and it started what we know as the modern day Pentecostal Spirit-filled movement. If you see this picture up here that was taken right after that, William J. Seymour, what's interesting about this, he's the man sitting in the middle. He is African American. There are all kinds of different races. There are women that are included. And I think it's a wonderful picture of the church. This initial outpouring that started in Los Angeles, California, started working its way throughout the United States. The Assemblies of God was founded probably 12 years after that. And today, worldwide, the Pentecostal charismatic Christianity, they number over 644 million adherents, okay? So this is not an infant movement this morning, this or anymore. This is a powerful movement blowing across the world. Pentecostalism is believed to be the fastest growing religious movement in the world. Revival, unbelievable revival in Korea, okay? Most of the Christians in Korea are of spirit-filled background, and they are sending missionaries around the Far East. There is a wonderful revival in Argentina and Brazil. Unbelievable outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Sub-Saharan Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Botswana are experiencing unbelievable revival today. So, Pentecost Sunday is a reminder to us of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church and a promise to believers today to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We believe what happened in Acts 2 to those believers in the church are still for you and I today. So this is not... This is not just a memorial. This is a fresh commissioning of the church for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And we are going to do that in the end. We say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Do your work in our church and in our lives. So, as the book of Acts spells out the working of the Holy Spirit in the church, as far as spreading the gospel and evangelism, Galatians, and this all ties together, Galatians is the working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people to make sure that those spreading the gospel were like Jesus, okay? They were living like Jesus. So this is part of the series, Good Fruit. Galatians 5, and I want to read you this passage, Galatians 5 and verse 16, it's been our theme. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And he explains some of this here, Acts 19. So the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So, in previous weeks, because this is week four here, we are born with a predisposition to sin and evil. It is first nature in our heart. The Bible calls this predisposition our flesh. You just saw it reference. The Bible calls this predisposition our flesh. It's the internal desires and emotions operating directly opposite to the Holy Spirit. Once you become a Christian, you've now entered a spiritual conflict that never ends. That passage says the flesh is contrary to the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. I mean, there's an internal battle the rest of your life as a believer. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So I've been saying, you know, like apart from God working in our heart, these things are impossible to duplicate. You cannot just manufacture spiritual fruit. This is not an effort of human will and just, you know, human determination. This is a fruit that is born by the Holy Spirit that is not a product of human will or human effort. As we are closer to Jesus, as we get serve Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit just begins to emerge. We can be more conscious of it and realize that we have a need for it, but this fruit cannot be manufactured just by human determination. So this is a fruit that's born by being close to Jesus. So in previous weeks, we've talked about love, joy, gentleness, patience, and today we're going to do kindness and self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, all right? Kindness, goodness of heart, gracious, pleasant, hospitality, acts of kindness, readiness to help, benevolence, equipped for action. Kindness is the answer for an angry, hate-filled world. We live in an angry world. More violence than you've ever just seen in cities and on the sidewalks. People yelling, screaming, on edge. I've never seen anything like it. We live in a world of anger, hate, retribution that leads to violence. This generation of politicians are the worst. They are name callers and mockers, and they speak terribly about their opponents, and they put that seed into our heart as well. TV news opinion shows are absolutely the worst. I stopped watching them because they drive you to hate and lead you to hate those that think differently than you. Social media influencers, some of them, are the worst. They will drive you to anger, to hate, to violence over certain topics. And listen, that is not what Jesus teaches. Kindness is the answer for an angry, hate-filled world. Jesus doesn't teach that, and let's don't fall for that. We do not hate people who believe differently on certain things than we do. We need kindness. Kindness is anti-Darwinian and places value on the powerless, hurting, broken, and those with needs. Darwin said the stronger will eventually overtake the weak. The gospel of Jesus is antithetical to that teaching. It places value on those that are struggling and hurting. It implores us not to just watch their demise or sit idly by, but be proactive in helping and serving those. So kindness is anti-Darwinian and places value on the powerless, the hurting, broken, and those with needs. Kindness lifts, encourages, and supports others. We live in a world that is beat down, under pressure, loaded with stress and trouble. People like that, and we probably feel that way ourselves sometimes, but when you are in that situation emotionally, you are on the edge. People are open to a kind act, a thoughtful deed, an uplifting word, and a smile. Kindness lifts, encourages, and supports others because there's power in kindness. As a follower of Jesus, I'm kind. As a follower of Jesus, I'm kind. I can be kind to others. And there's no limit on kindness. You don't have, you know, a kindness cap. Okay, well, I've done my kind acts for the week. I can move on. There is no limit to kindness. We can be kind to everyone. Be kind to your leaders. Be kind to your neighbors. Be kind to those that hurt you. Be kind to those that oppose you. Be kind to the powerful. Be kind to the powerless. I am kind because Jesus is kind, and that's part of my life as a follower of Jesus. Kindness has the power to make someone's day better. Kindness is life-giving, okay? Kindness has the power to open the door to someone who's going through a hard time, and maybe there might be conversation. Kindness has the power to build up those that have been beaten down. Kindness can lift, encourage, and give hope to those that have no hope. Kindness can be a nonverbal way to communicate the love of Jesus and build a bridge to others. Sometimes when we talk about sharing our faith, like, people get a little intimidated when it's, you know, like speaking and sharing their faith and talking. Well, you know what? Kindness is nonverbal, okay? But it also may help you to build a bridge to others at some point. Those kind acts and good deeds may one day earn you the right to share what God's done in your life, okay? So if you're like, I'm not really good sharing my faith, talking about the Lord, then you might be surprised. Kindness can open the door and build a bridge, and in the right time, you will, you know, you'll be able to talk to them. Nonverbal acts are just as powerful because it shows in a tangible way our love for Christ and our concern for them. Kindness can be an answer to modern day skepticism of Christianity. Okay, there's lots of people that think a lot of strange things. Most of them are untrue, okay, about faith and about serving Jesus. And some people are even a little suspicious when you tell them you're a Christian, okay? Especially when you tell them you are a spirit-filled Christian, okay? So there's the skepticism about us, okay? So they might be suspicious of our actions. They might debate our theology. They might question our beliefs. But if they're in need, they will appreciate the fact that you handed them a coffee and donut, okay? They probably will say thank you, but in their mind, they will go, that's nice. That was nice. Why did they do that? Of course, last week, we had the unfortunate storms, the tornadoes that came through our community. All were affected. Our church was able last Saturday to do a Convoy of Hope food distribution. We didn't do it under any pretense, but just to serve our community and just help. We had many. Some of you were affected by the storm, many in this area. And let me tell you, man, there were two tornadoes north of us, one that was south of us. I mean, we were just very thankful that it didn't affect our church here. But as people were coming through the line, we didn't do this for any other reason, but as people were coming through the line, they were moved by kindness. They were just moved. I was on the radio with Becca and Abigail because I needed to keep the cars going, okay, keep this thing going. Well, my cars would not come. I would go, I need four cars. Nothing. You know why? Because people were pouring their hearts out to them. They were moved just by the simple fact that people would care enough to give a little food. They were opening their hearts to people. They were sharing hurts and fears. And so, Abigail and Becca, I want you to say, please forgive me, okay? Because I'm like, where are my cars? Where are my cars? Becca would be like, we're praying with people. We're talking to people, you know? Because let me say, sometimes kindness opens a door when people are hurting. We didn't do it for any other reason but to serve. But the act of kindness, you know, just was moving people in different ways. And when they came through our line, we didn't care if they were Christian, atheist, or Muslim. We were surprised at the number of Muslim families that came through. There is a community of people from Afghanistan that live here in Syria. We were surprised that they would come through the line of a Christian church. But when you don't have any food or you are at risk, we were surprised. So it didn't matter to us, you know, Christian, atheist, Muslim, gay, straight, saint, or sinner. It didn't matter. It didn't matter because, you know, we wanted to do something, you know, for our community there, but I'm just going, many people are moved by random acts of kindness. Kindness is given with no strings attached, okay? Don't be kind to just those that might possibly be able to help you later on. We are not trying to build kindness credits. There is no such thing, okay? We just are kind, okay? We're not trying to manipulate others with kindness, okay? When we do a kind act, it's not necessarily that they have to come to church here when you do a kind act. Sometimes that happens. They're moved, but we don't do something to get them back. We just serve Jesus with kindness. Be kind and generous. Whatever you give, God will repay. Sometimes kindness costs money. Sometimes kindness costs money. And I just say to you, don't worry about the money. Just be kind. Be generous in the moment. Whatever you give out, God will give back. If you've got a heart of kindness and generosity, and God puts something in your hand, and you give it out over here, and you've got a kind and generous heart, He's not going to not replenish that, because kindness and generosity are what we do. So when you take something from your account and you give it out, you can just bet God's going to pay that back. So don't go, that was $35. What am I going to do for lunch next week? I promise you, just be kind. Whatever you give out, God will replace. Now, everyone got a little card, okay? It's a kindness card, act of kindness, all right? Just to kind of remind you this week, if you did not get one, I've got several here. They've got them at guest services. So this week, I want this card to just be a reminder. Somewhere this week, I want you to do an act of kindness somewhere, okay? I want you to find something and do something nice for someone. Just kind. Cookies and donuts. Take them to work. Pay for someone's fast food meal behind you in a drive-thru, which I've done, but make sure it's not a family van behind you. It could cost you more money than you plan. Could be $47, but whatever, God will repay. Okay, so send a note of encouragement to someone. Give another driver your parking lot. Make or send a meal to someone. Leave a big tip for a waiter or waitress or delivery person that may be having a tough time. Pay for someone's meal at a restaurant. Give someone randomly a gift card for someone in need. Invite an elderly person sitting alone at a restaurant to join you. Help a foster care family. Pay for someone's mega sports camp or summer camp. Send groceries to someone in need. Send care packages to college students. All the college students say, yeah, I knew it. I knew that. They'll be all looking poor after church. So, call an elderly person just to say hello. Hold the door for someone. Bring your neighbor's elderly or single mom's trash can in from the road. Prepare and hand out food and toiletry bags for the homeless. Help a stranded lady on the side of the road. Listen, this world is open to acts of kindness. Let's just don't drive by and be unconcerned. This world needs the kindness of Jesus that leads to the fullness of the gospel in their lives. But let me say, kindness doesn't come naturally, because there's a Darwinian part of our heart that's just like, I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of my own life. But I want to remind you, kindness is a spiritual fruit, all right? Especially when it involves money, all right? Some of that will be a miracle for some of you, all right? So kindness is a spiritual fruit. Colossians 3, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, so if kindness is not part of your life, we're going to pray God is going to work in a fresh way in our lives when it comes to kindness. The next fruit of the Spirit Self-control. Self-control. Self-control is the restraint of natural impulses, the mastering of personal desires and passions, restraint or discipline exercised over one's behavior. Proverbs uses the imagery of a walled city, kind of like a fort, okay? So this is what Proverbs 25 says. So just think of a walled city, you know, as a fort. Proverbs 25 and 28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person that lacks self-control, okay? Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. There's no restraint anywhere. When the walls are down, there is no restraint and there is no protection either. Self-control is the wall that keeps me from harm. Self-control is the wall that keeps me from harm. So let me give you some applications of self-control, all right? Self-control and sexuality. Self-control and sexuality. When I was in high school, I had a dog, the only animal I ever owned in my life. His name was Bama. I felt like God gave me that name for my pet, okay? It became clear at some point that Bama had been a bad boy, and he had fathered two litters of puppies by two different dogs at about the same time, okay? I was very disappointed because we had raised him as a Christian dog in our home, okay? So, but animals in that area have no self-control. That is why they are spayed and neutered, and Bob Barker would be very happy that I even mentioned that to you this morning, okay? But to the Christian, we are not animals. We are Christians with the Holy Spirit working in our heart to give us strength and self-control in this area, okay? So a common thought about sexual sins are that these feelings, urges, and passions are impossible to control. They're impossible. Or a lot of modern day science will tell you it's unhealthy to repress sexual urges and passions, all right? And both of those are wrong. It is not unhealthy, and they can be controlled, all right? But here's what happens to many. You live your whole life with very little sexual restraint, and then you come to faith, and the way you kind of dealt with sexual passion was there was no walls, there were no restraints, and man, the way you deal with that, it's been already kind of set in stone in your emotions and your psychology, and now, man, you come when you've lived unrestrained, and the Bible says, no, you can control this. You can control this, all right? You're ruled or governed by your passions. And I want to say, too, if there's no self-control in this area, it will lead you to pornography and sexual sins, okay? It will lead you when there's no self-control in this area. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this. It's very interesting. The wording is very interesting. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. So we're followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to give us strength and self-control over carnal sexual urges and passions. Now let me say again, this is not something you necessarily fight on your own. This is not just about will and determination. Okay, this is a spiritual fruit. The Holy Spirit will help you in this area. You are not helpless in this area. I don't care what your therapist tells you. Okay, the Lord can help you bring restraint and self-control, and you can live in this area holy and honorable before God. Self-control and money. Oh, we're going to have revival this morning. It is Pentecost Sunday, okay? A person controlled by money will have serious spiritual and financial consequences. This is not a joke or a game, okay? When there's no self-control in the area of your finances, it will bring ruin upon your life and your family's life, and it will drag you down spiritually. Some of you get the shakes when you go into the store. I got to spend. And now you don't have to go into a store. You just get on Amazon.com and you just start sweating. You start perspiring, okay? It's the desire for something that you cannot afford or don't really need. Covetousness, impatience, greed, and selfishness without restraint will drive you into a debt that it will be difficult for you to recover from, okay? Impulse buying. I have to have it now. I gotta have it now, all right? And that's where online retail shopping is not our favor. We don't have to even go out. We can just sit there and impulse buy. And then let me ask you this. You get it sometimes and you don't even like it. Nobody will say amen because you will not admit that you've done it. All right? Impulse buying, self-image, self-esteem purchases. Sometimes we make unwise purchases because we're hurting or we don't feel good about ourselves. If I just had this, if I had this clothing item, if I had this, it would just make me feel better about myself. And I just want you to know it is masking something deeper, and you can drive yourself into debt trying to purchase something that will make you feel better about your situations. And then when we're facing this with little self-control, there are credit and credit cards that empower us to act in this situation that will drive our debt even worse. So when it comes to money and finances, we need the Holy Spirit's help and self-control. Listen to me. This is not a financial issue per se that you need Dave Ramsey, okay? This is a spiritual issue that you need the fruit of the Holy Spirit and self-control to help you. Self-control can keep us from unwise or unhealthy spending. Self-control can provide the patience so that my purchases are well thought out and in line with my present budget. So when I've got self-control and I take a deep breath, I'm able to evaluate this purchase. Is it something that I really need? Is it something that I can afford in line with my present budget? And sometimes self-control will say no. And that's good. Or sometimes self-control will say, not now, maybe a little bit later. But I'm just telling you, if we have financial issues and there's no self-control in this area, we will work ourselves into a debt that we will not be able to recover. But this is a fruit of the Spirit. Got it? So this is a thing that we need the Lord's help in the area of money. Some need the help in this area. You need the strength and the discipline of the Lord. Worship team, you can come. Self-control in my temper. Have any of you ever heard the term microaggressions? Any of your bosses, human resources, ever talk to you about that? Because there are great sensitivities today toward, outburst and how we treat people. Now, let me say too, anger is sometimes justified. Sometimes it is, okay? Sometimes there are legitimate things that happen in our life that cause us to be upset, okay? So it's not always wrong. Sometimes people have a quick trigger and everything, they have issues with their, with their temper. Harsh words, harsh tone, loud volume sometimes. Even when anger is justified, the overreaction of that is not. Even when there's a legitimate reason to be upset, just harming people, deep hurt, uncontrolled temper, uncontrolled words, and sometimes this leads to violence as well. And we need the help from the Lord. Self-control can allow me the time to cool off and respond by saying the right thing at the right time. So when I'm angry and I need to deal with something, I'm not asking you to suppress your anger. What I'm saying is let self-control pull you back, take a deep breath, and you think through your response. Even when you're legitimately angry, you can say it, you can, your words and your tone can honor God, speak the truth, and is constructive to building and continuing the relationship. The opposite happens. We don't honor God. We tear down relationships, and reckless words cut like a sword. But we can say what honors God. We can speak the truth, and we can say what is constructive to continuing the relationship. Last, self-control in my tongue. I'm only going to spend a moment on this. Some are very thankful, okay? Gossip, unrestrained conversation about other people, rumors, things that are not confirmed as being true, saying things about issues in people's lives that we have no idea whether they're truth or not. And sometimes even when it's truthful, I have no business speaking it, okay? Intentionally discussing or revealing information about a person in a negative light. Might be true, but does it help? Does it help? And some people even enjoy talking about the misery of other people. For some reason, it makes them kind of feel better about their own life, okay? So, let's remember this. I don't have to speak everything that I think. They're going to put that on the screen. All right, pop that up there. There you go. I don't have to speak everything that I think. Would you repeat that with me? I don't have to speak everything that I think. I just feel like this side needs to say that one more time. I don't have to speak everything that I think, okay? So self-control says, hey, there may be, like, for whatever reason, I'm wanting to talk about this, but I don't have to do this. Self-control can keep me from gossip, rumors, and from conversations that hurt others, and my testimony as a follower of Jesus, okay? So we need, man, you'd think, man, self-control is not that important. Self-control is huge when it comes to our testimony. Again, you can't just, by human will and determination, I'm going to be a little better in this area. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This comes from the depth of our relationship, the Holy Spirit bearing fruit that can help us in this area. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to do baptisms in just a moment, but I want to take a moment and I just want to pray. Today's Pentecost Sunday. We're just going to take a moment and we're just going to pray for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to be in our lives. And then we're just going to take a moment and we're going to pray for the fruit of kindness and self-control this morning. Brent, go ahead and let's just sing that. Come on, let's worship for a moment as we prepare for baptism.
Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus.
Come on, sing it.
Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, Lord, done so I can honor you. Resurrected, sanctified, make me more like you. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus.
Come on, sing it. Make that
every
a prayer this morning.
A little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, Lord, done so I can honor. Sanctify me, make me more like you. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day a little more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, my new life might be secure. Everything I do, Lord, done so I can honor you.
Come on, sing it.
Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Make me more like you, Jesus. Sing praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's pray this prayer of Pentecost and for these fruits. So, Lord, 2,000 years ago, Lord, you blessed the church by sending the Holy Spirit upon believers. And we are thankful, and we are the recipients of that act in the upper room on that day. We thank you for new life. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that is our comforter, our convictor, our guide, our spirit baptizer. And this morning, as a church and believers, we ask you again to pour your spirit out upon the church. Lord, we need your power. We need your presence. Lord, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to spread the gospel and to be the church. So we pray today for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with your presence, Lord. Baptize us today in the Holy Spirit as you did in Acts chapter 2. Lord, we pray that you would empower us to spread the gospel, to live out our faith boldly. Lord, we pray for renewal and revival and awakening, Lord, in the church and in the hearts of people. Pour your spirit out upon us. Lord, we pray the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Lord, let them emerge from your church. Help us to use them for your glory and the good of others. Lord, we pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As we are doing ministry, Lord, let us be like Jesus. Lord, let us reflect you in character and in personality. Lord, pour your spirit out upon us. Would you take a moment just in your own way and say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Refresh me with the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, we need your power. We need your presence. Lord, fall upon us again. Holy Spirit, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray. We pray this morning for the fruit of kindness. Lord, if it's not a manufactured human emotion, it is a fruit of the Spirit. And Lord, we pray in this area, Lord, that as we're aware that we'll be just more kind, more considerate, more compassionate, more generous. Lord, it's the opposite. It's the opposite of so many things in our culture today. And we pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, we pray for the fruit of self-control. You don't want us to be like a city with no walls. Self-control provides the barrier and protection that we need. We pray, especially in the area of sexuality, money, temper, and tongue. Lord, let the fruit of the Holy Spirit, let these walls guide and protect us. We pray actively, Lord. We pray actively, Lord, for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. And we give you praise today. We give you praise today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Generations Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message today and pray God's greatest blessings on you. For more information about Generations Church and its ministries, check out our webpage at gctlh.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter.